In the mid-50s, two men knocked over a kerosene stove during a fight at a concert. After fleeing the blaze, the guitar player realized he left his beloved Gibson inside. B.B. King then ran in and saved it. He later learned that the fight was over a woman named Lucille, and ever since, his guitars have borne that name. You can find Lucille at the Hard Rock in Hollywood, Florida. Thousands of other priceless pieces of rock history can be found at Hard Rock cafes, casinos, and hotels around the world. To learn more, visit hardrock.com.
Little Stephen's Underground Garage's coolest conversations, presented by Hard Rock Cafe, hosted by the Mighty Manfred.
This is the Mighty Manfred, and it's time for your coolest conversations, presented by Hard Rock and Little Stephen's Underground Garage. Thanks for listening, and please remember to follow, subscribe, rate, and review. I'll be chatting shortly with actor and singer Diego Andres Rodriguez, one of the cast members in the upcoming musical production of The Wanderer, The Life and Music of Dion. That's due to open on Broadway next year. Our recent coolest song in the world, Ride With You, is featured in the production. And the recorded version is produced by Stevie Van Zandt with backing from the Disciples of Soul. Singing on it is Diego and fellow cast member Mike Wartella. We hear a portion of it now, followed by my talk with Diego on your coolest conversations presented by Hard Rock and Little Stephen's Underground Garage. Time for your Friday's Coolest Conversations, and I'm the Mighty Manfred. My guest is actor and singer Diego Andres Rodriguez. He's part of the cast of the upcoming theatrical production The Wanderer, based on the life and music of Dion. Music is scheduled to open in 2027 on Broadway. Our coolest song in the world this week is a tune from the musical titled Ride With You, and it features Diego singing with actor Mike Wartella, who we spoke with several weeks ago. Diego, my friend, how are you?
Yo, I'm doing good, Manfred. What a pleasure to be on here to talk about the coolest song in the world, baby.
That's right. You got it going on. I was looking online, and I saw that you were performing as Che in this the 2025 West End production of The Vita, and I had a pretty coveted role. How did you land that?
Yes, sir. Well, you know, my first job, my first Broadway show that I ever booked was a job called Sunset Boulevard, which won Best Revival of a Musical in 2025 at the Tonys. And that was with the Jamie Lloyd Company. And that was pretty exciting, that production. And I ended up off the back of that job, the same exact creative team ended up doing Evita in London. And so I ended up getting to do Che as Evita for 3 months there at the London Palladium, right in the smack downtown center of London. It was an absolute dream. It was with Rachel Zegler starring as Eva Perón. And it was truly the most exciting show of my life. And got nominated for an Olivier Award off of that. And I'm very, very happy to be 24 years old back in New York City.
Well, I want you to tell me something about this, the award, the Laurence Olivier Award for Best Actor in a Musical. Wow, I mean, that's immense, right? You just said you're like 24.
Well, it's pretty crazy. That was my second job, Evita, in the West End. And to have been given that honor of being a young man in this industry, a young actor, my first job ever in the West End, to be nominated for the Best Actor for the Laurence Olivier was a pretty unreal feat. And I was very happy to attend the awards and be dressed up like James Bond, man. I felt so cool. I was in a nice Todd Snyder suit with a brooch and everything. And it was really cool to be from a border town in South Texas.
Glad you're bringing up the border town in Texas, because I want us to back up here, because this is McAllen, Texas.
Yes, sir. McAllen, Texas, border 956, down the RGV, right on the border of Texas.
Right, like how close? A couple of miles?
Yeah, about 15-minute drive, to be honest. It's a very large city along the border, South Texas border region. It's one of the larger ones down there. Brownsville is another big port. But yes, yeah, I grew up in that city, McAllen, Texas, all the way up until I graduated high school. And best years of my life down there in the heat. Baking in the heat, about a 15-minute drive from the border of Mexico, is truly, truly a beautiful place, wonderful people, and yeah, my hometown.
I mean, I was looking it up and just to see, you know, what's there, and I saw that they got this International Museum of Art and Science.
That's right down the street from me, man. No way, IMAX Museum. Yes, I love IMAX Museum. They serve free lunch in there, like in elementary school during the summers, and so my mom would take me there with all of my sisters, and we would go and have fun at the museum and look at all of that. Well, how did you find IMAX? That's so cool.
I just, you know, it's like looking at the town, and it's like, you know, well, hey, what's, I mean, well, you know, you're acting, so there has to be some sort of, you know, arts going on in there. Like in fact, when did you get the acting bug? What got you started here?
Well, you know what? You hit on a beautiful thing that my South Texas has, and it's a really beautiful culture of the arts. You know, we are the in-between world between Mexico and Texas, and there's a lot of history there. You know, Texas was underneath six different flags, and at one part in time was Mexico, very recent in history. And so with IMAX Museum and just living there and in many other types of museums, the South Texas History Museum, there was lots of influence of, you know, Mexican-American art, you know, mariachis, folklorico, or also too, you know, like even blues, like Tejano blues style music. There's a lot of brilliant blues concerts down there and a lot of events, because we would have big events here in the States and South Texas, and then a lot of Mexicans would come over and watch within Texas, you know, those events. And so I grew up in a very exciting artistic town, but truly the two biggest things in my life that influenced me as an artist were the education system. By the time we got into sixth grade, They gave us students a chance to choose any art we wanted to. We can be in band, orchestra, choir, you know, theater. And we did that for 7 years until we graduated high school. And so that, and then my family, really. So my dad's one of 10 kids. Isn't that unreal? 10 children in South, and they grew up in San Antonio, Texas.
Wow.
And they all sang together as a family. They were very Catholic. And my grandmother would teach them songs of, you know, hymnals and things like that on the guitar. And they would sing them together as a family, almost as like the Mexican Von Trapps. Like they would all 10 of them sing together. And so because of that, there's always been art in my family. And I'm very happy to come from this very supportive family in the arts. And they're really the wing beneath my wings. I did well in the Texas circuit as a high schooler, you know, and doing well in theater down there. And I ended up just getting an excellent education at the University of Michigan, did my Bachelor of Fine Arts with a concentration of voice for musical theater there. And I ended up getting a job, Sunset Boulevard, my first Broadway show, I ended up booking while I was a senior in college. And so I was very lucky to have an immediate transition into a musical theater career.
Well, you mentioned this background here, your grandmother and this kind of Mexican version of Von Trapp sound of music. And you took a path into you know being an actor, but you're also a singer. Did you learn any instrument growing up? Or when were you singing?
I chose orchestra in school, so I played cello for 7 years. I absolutely love the cello. I'm very much a classical instrumentalist at heart. So I ended up doing a lot of studying on cello. But with my dad, we played like in a family band almost. We would do some like church. We would play mass if they ever lost the choir or anything. We would go and play as a family band. It was really fun. And my dad played guitar and sung the lead. And so he said, you know what, son, I need someone to support me, man. So you're going to play the bass. So I went from cello to bass, man. So I played bass for a bit and still do. And then now I play guitar. And I'm really, really, my father and my uncles and my tías, even on my dad's side, are a very large musical influence into my life. And he really lives vicariously through me. I feel he's a pharmacist, but I know that he's really excited that I'm doing well in the arts. And he's so pumped, man, that I'm getting to record awesome stuff like this song with Dion, working with Dion DiMucci and Stevie Van Zandt, man. How cool is that?
You were talking about your dad and lots of musical influences. And I know that you got, you know, you've described the family stuff. What other sort of thing? Like, we're going to get to Dion here in a second, but what was there, like, rock and roll stuff played in your house growing up? Or was you listening to oldies radio? Sort of regular rock stuff, or what's going on?
A lot of rock stuff. My dad loved rock, man. He's a rock star, my father. And so he loved, you know, he played a lot of Bruce Springsteen in the house. He had this really nice speaker system up with my TV. So he would grab a bunch of CDs and put them in there. And so he loved Bruce Springsteen. We love listening to even Bowie. Like, now that I'm doing Bowie, we listen to a lot of David Bowie. We listen to Kiss, Blues a lot too. Stevie Ray Vaughan. I love Stevie Ray Vaughan, man.
Ray Vaughan, yeah.
Awesome. And then some other stuff that I found interest to, like at blues festivals. And I love this group called Los Lonely Boys from Texas. They're a band of brothers who play really cool, like Tejano blues. And I love that kind of stuff. I would blast that in my own room and everything. But I also grew up with three sisters. And so there was a lot of, you know, female influence in music around. You know, my sisters loved singing and playing music. And they really are the reason I started doing theater when I ended up becoming a high schooler.
Wait a minute, but I didn't quite hear you. You said your sisters are the reason what now?
Oh, that ended up doing musical theater. That I ever stepped on stage as a musical performer and a singer was because of my sisters. We all grew up 5 years apart, three sisters and I. And so whenever we all did high school together, they really convinced me, hey, we should do a musical together. We're in choir. We're going to do it. And we want you to be on stage. We need guys anyway. And it'd be fun to perform before you, you know, go to college. And we all end up not being together anymore. And so if it wasn't really for my sisters, I wouldn't have ever become a performer, but my father was a huge musical influence into my life. And man, he's the best. My father's a CEO. He's awesome. And you know what? This is a really fun thing. My dad's sister is a musician. Her name is Patricia Vaughn. And she was actually featured on the coolest song in the world not too long ago for a Christmas song that she had written.
Yes. I spoke to her. It was really cool.
Isn't that so fun? Yeah, she...
Wow.
She also worked a lot in Germany, so I really love her. But she's another awesome, you know, influence into my life and my artistic life. Of course, there. Santa's on a Rampage. There you go. That's what it was called. Santa's on a Rampage.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, a lot of influences in my life when it comes to music. From my father with rock and blues and even, you know, a lot of, like, soul, gospel music. My dad loves gospel music. Funk. So I'm happy to now meet this artistry now. You know, he kind of fell out of his chair when I ended up telling him, hey man, you never guess who I'm going to work with, you know, getting to do songs with Dion DiMucci. You know, how cool is that?
Well, let's talk about this. First, trying to figure out whether we should talk about how you landed the role, but first let's talk about this character. Because when I was speaking to Mike Wartell a few weeks ago, he was talking about, you know, he's portraying Dion, and he mentioned your character is this sort of best friend character. But are you, I'm guessing you're maybe a composite of several real people, or is your character directly related to a single person in his life? Or,
you know what, that's a great question, because this is the Dion DiMucci musical. You know, Mike is playing and portraying Dion during his rise to fame, very quick rise to fame in the 60s. And he ended up kind of becoming the face to, you know, the tough guy scene, you know, the New Yorker, you know, his music right. Really played. Like, I love it in Chaz Palminteri's A Bronx Tale. You know, I'm listening to Dion in there. It's very much captures the energy of the Bronx at that time. And so the character that I play is Johnny. And Johnny is the best friend, you know, guy who Dion grew up with his whole life, but also too is meant to serve as many of these different influences in Dion's life. Dion grew to be this very, very successful young man very quickly, and is very open now about also too his battles with, you know,
his
addiction, yeah, and you know how that has kind of taken control of his life for a little bit. So in that way too, the character I play, Johnny, is that influence to him. He is another person who welcomes him into that journey, because what this story, The Wanderer, talks about is, yes, it's a success story of Dion DiMucci, but it's truly a success story of the overcoming addiction. And the character that I play, 100%. And, you know, my character plays all the kind of negative influences that one can get that is also the side of yourself that, you know, I kind of walk through the earth sometimes hoping in the world thinking, you know what, man, I gotta really get after it. I have to go. I have to push 100%. And I keep buddies around, you know, who motivate me and say, man, you can do it. You are the one who can do great things, you know? And so it's nice to keep those guys in your corner, but also too, you don't want those guys in your corner to be any kind of negative influence on your life or how you live your life. And so that's kind of the character that I'm playing. It's, I'm a symbol, but really truly a hard friend to shake for Dion. And that story, The Wanderer, is beautiful. Yeah.
And how did you land this role?
I ended up landing this role. I had a meeting with Kenneth Ferrone, the director, post the success of Evita in London. And, you know, I've got some downtime coming back to the city. I lived in London for a year now. And so now I'm coming back, really getting my feet back in New York. And I ended up auditioning and getting the role for The Wanderer. That really helped set me up with, man, what a great way to get welcome back to the city. Doing The Wanderer, coming back from London, is a great way to ground myself with, you know, a truly rock hard New York true story. And I'm very happy to be accepted by, you know, Kenneth Barone, Mike as well, and Lil Steven, man. Lil Steven's been super, super fantastic friend to get to know through this project. And I'm so happy to have expressed my gratitude to Dion, the man himself, you know.
Well, let's talk about Dion. So when did you meet him?
You know, I first met Dion pitching the show. We worked on it for about a week, and we pitched The Wanderer to a room of producers. You know, we're really on track trying to get this thing to Broadway. It's a beautiful story, and if anyone wants to get this thing on Broadway, call us up right now. We're trying to get it there immediately. But, you know, it's a story that really deserves to be seen by a lot of people, and we were pitching this fall to this room of producers, and right in front of me, dead center in the back, you see Dion Dimitri in his Kangol hat, looking cool as always, man. Shades on, you know, with like the nice tint, like you can still see his eyes, but it's a cool shade that he got, and a nice necklace, man, with the cross on it. Or he had some beautiful, you know, Catholic symbol there,
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
And so I met him after that reading, and he really, really enjoyed our production too. But I actually got the most best time to talk to Dion after watching a live performance of his at the Soon Center not too long ago, about 2 months ago, I think. Yeah. That was brilliant. And I really, to get to see Dion walk us himself through his life and the times, you know, where, hey, when I was 23 years old or when I was 19 years old and I ended up singing this song and selling it off to these record labels, this is what it sounded like, you know. And then he took us back in time, you know. He's 86, I think, years old.
Yes, I think it's about right. He's in mid-80s,
man. And to see him on stage, just, you know, living the golden years, that was absolutely beautiful. That was an extraordinary performance to sit and watch and to witness greatness, you know, still alive and in front of me, and greatness till 86, man. This is the story where I just worked with a talented room of a lot of artists to try to portray how, you know, far down this character went. You know, Dion went to some dark areas, and then here he is sitting right across from me, 86 years old, listening to our story. It's pretty miraculous.
Well, let's talk about this coolest song. So coolest song this week's from the production. It's you and Mike Wartella. He's portraying Dion, and you guys together are singing Ride With You. It's a song that Dion has recorded a couple of times. What's going on in that scene where you guys are singing this tune?
Oh, Ride With You is a good song, man. That comes about in the second act of the show. And this is right when Dion's getting a lot of pushback from the record labels. And he really wants to lean into a side of his artistry that's a little more rocking, you know. He's going for a different sound. And he's always been pushing. In the story, you know, Dion's always kind of worked towards this sound that he hears. You know, he's got this beautiful ear for music. And it's really about the label really pushing back on him a lot of times. It causes a lot of frustration. And so my character is basically like, man, screw the label, man. Let's get out of here. Let's go around town. You're the it guy, man. Don't forget that. Let's ride together. Let's live on the good life. Like, let's go anywhere else. And everyone there will think you're the, you know, cat's pajamas, man. Like, forget the guys who aren't in your corner right now. You are that, and I'll ride with you, and I'll continue to be the guy in your corner that's going to be you always. Let's go have fun, man. Let's live life wild. So that's very much the energy of Ride With You, and it's a fun song, you know. In the show, it really sends Dion into this, you know, ego, like, badass. The song's got a lot of balls. I think Ride With You's got a lot of cool funk in it, man. So rock. And it's cool to hear at that point of the show, man, because you're on the ride with the character. You truly believe you can do anything.
Have the ride with the character. I like that. But the version that we heard, it was produced by Stevie Van Zandt. You mentioned meeting Steven too. What was it like working with Stevie?
Man, so cool. I mean, already, hey, to work with Lil Steven, man, how cool is that? My dad really flipped when I sent a photo of a selfie the first time. I was like, man, you never guess who I went into. It's Silvio from The Sopranos, man. How cool is that?
So Steve Van Zandt, he was great as a producer. He's also worked as a director, right? I know he directed episodes of his show, Lilyhammer. Well, what are some similarities between the role of a music director and a music producer and a film director? Do you see any similarities between those roles?
100%. You know, whenever we were working The Wanderer in our last, you know, professional workshop, he ended up really taking a lot of control in the room when it came to the sound of the music. You know, we had Kenneth Ferrone really working great with us. And we also had our music director, you know, really making sure that we were wrapped up tight. And he would take a lot of control in the room as being this kind of, you know, protector of Dion's work, man. You know, he was there when the tracks came out and they took over the radio and he saw the reaction of the people. So he knows the sound that should stay in the show. And so it was really cool to see him walk around while we're in the room and say, you know what? No, we need a little more, you know, we need more bass here. We need more of the guitar, you know, simplify it, keep it to the story, you know, like, and stick to what that was. The story is, this is real, you know, not often do we really get to do an awesome bio musical like this, but he really worked to be this dramaturg for the music, man. He really kept us tight and a great, great mentor. And I'm very, very happy to have created such a great, you know, relationship with Stevie, you know, this far and to continue forward, man. He's awesome. And I hope to get to work in a room again with The Wanderer. It's truly a beautiful story.
Well, so when you're in the studio with him, I know you and Mike are singing. Were any of the Disciples of Soul there while you guys were tracking
the whole band, man?
Oh,
that
wow.
Was awesome. We got to play the whole Disciples of Soul. And what was cool too is that we went on to the news. We went on to Good Morning New York with Fox. I forgot what the exact special name was, but it was there with Good Morning New York with. And so we played Ride With You there on live television. So that was really awesome. All with the Disciples of Soul, Mike and I. And that was
Way cool. Yeah, I didn't realize. I know. I think Mark Brothers on guitar. Wasn't sure if just the whole full band is there, but wow, that's way cool. So I've heard that the show is going to open sometime in 2027. Is there any word, any more specifics about that, or is it still to be seen?
You know, it's always hard to see how Broadway is going to work for itself. But I've always heard, you know, especially like this, I'm so happy to be coming on to this talk show right now and to be speaking with you, because it at least proves that The Wanderer is moving in the right direction. And so I know that slowly but surely we're getting somewhere, and I'm happy to be, you know, supporting along the entire way. And I cannot wait to share the story to you all. It's truly, truly a wonderful story. And hoping for, you know, the time between now and 2027 to go by real quick. We're ready to show it to you.
Well, I want to touch on a couple of other things, and then we're going to take a listen to another tune. Just things I was finding out that you'd done recently, like this. What's this? A few months back, One for the Boys, a men's health charity.
Yes. Yeah. One for the Boys is an exceptional cancer charity, men's cancer awareness, based out of London. And we ended up doing that at Drury Lane, which is a wonderful theater, very historic theater in the West End in London. And it was a one-night performance with Nicole Scherzinger, Tom Francis, who I did Sunset with, the two leads of Sunset Boulevard. It was me and my friend James Olivas and Bella Brown, who all did a video together. And then many other stars from the West End that are just absolutely extraordinary. And it was truly a wonderful evening to present the message to this organization. You know, like, they're working a lot with the arts now to hopefully continue to advocate for men's health and to say, you know what? If you are in a place where you feel like you need to be checked out or you're not feeling the best, it is the best thing for your insurance of your life and for all the people that care about you, that you go and put the effort to check up with yourself. And us being there to sing for them in that event is just a way to help put their message out a little further. And so it was really beautiful to now collaborate with that organization, which has been, you know, going on for 10 plus years already. But they're now trying to transfer into the theater scene, and hopefully will come to New York soon with a large event. They came to Cipriani's right across from Grand Central, and we sang there as well in 2020. Yeah, that was great. That was 2025, the end of 2025. We performed here at Cipriani's. But yes, One for the Boys was an exceptional night, and hoping for a pro shot of that evening, because, man, there were some awesome singers there. Like, it was an absolutely stacked cast of singers, and hoping to work with one for the boys when they end up coming to New York. And it would be nice to throw the Wanderer into there. You know, they did a lot of classical musical theater stuff, but, you know, the Wanderer is trying to shake it up a bit and has some of the coolest songs in the world. So it would be nice to get
there
to
you
do
go. Something. You're right. Right on it. Do you have what other projects do you have? We got the Wanderer. You're going to be on Broadway next year. What else are you working on right now?
Well, we spoke about it a little earlier off the tape, but, you know, I'm going to Germany to work in Bochum, Germany with the Ruhr Ternal Festival. I'm doing a show with Ivo van Hove, and it's called Rebel Rebel. It's the David Bowie, a new David Bowie musical. So it's got a lot of awesome songs from David Bowie's tracks. And we're telling the story of kind of 1984, you know, lovers are not allowed to have any kind of relationship with each other. And in a world of complete, you know, anarchy and destruction, there's two people, myself and the actor I'm portraying with, Ariana Tartamasa. Uh-huh. We play lovers in a world where everything's going terribly. And so we're trying to connect with Bowie's music, and we're starting with some really cool tracks, and one of them being Rebel Rebel. And so it's a really nice show that we'll be performing there in Bochum in Germany, only for about 2 weeks. It's a very short job, but very excited to go out to Germany. Introduce myself to that audience out there. Cannot wait to go rock it in German. you know, to do a lot of awesome movies. We're working with City Larby, who's an exceptional choreographer, and all these fantastic dancers from all across Europe. And my friend Daniel Donskoy is a German actor and fantastic performer, and he's going to be playing the gang leader, who is really the spirit and the energy of Ziggy Stardust, you know, David Bowie, this rock demon kind of. So it's pretty fun. It'll be a fun show. Excited to see how it goes, and excited to pitch at the Working Off Festival. And that's happening at the end of August to early September. And we're back in New York.
Wow. All right. Well, we're going to take a listen to a cool song of the world from several weeks back. And it's another tune from the upcoming production of The Wanderer. It's called Make It Alone. Dion did it back in the early 60s. Is going to make it alone. This tune appears early in the show, I believe. Is that
yes.
Still on it? Okay.
That's absolutely. This is the young young Dion and young Johnny ready to go and take on the world. They're ready to make it alone. This song, Make It Alone, comes right at the beginning of the show. It's the I Want song of Dion, and it's him ready to go and make it alone and take over the world. And Johnny's right there as his best friend to support him along the way. So Make It Alone is a track that is ready to show the world what he's got.
Man, excellent. Well, that's where we're going to leave it then. And Diego, man, thank you so much for joining me for our coolest conversations.
What a joy, man. What an absolute pleasure, my friend. Happy to be here anytime, and love to be supporting The Wanderer and all of Neon's music.
All right, man. Best of luck to you and the production of The Wanderer, based on the life and music of Dion. And we're going to give a listen now to Make It Alone. It's Diego Andreas Rodriguez with Mike Wartella and Little Steven's Underground Garage.
Getting older day by day. It's coming time to break away. So many things I want to say. I'm gonna make it alone, alone, alone.
I'm gonna get myself a car. I travel near, I travel far. I'm gonna come back a star. I'm gonna make it alone, alone, alone. Whoa, 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 yeah. Now.
That was actor-singer Diego Andreas Rodriguez singing with Mike Wartella. And together doing a version of the Dion song, Make It Alone, here in Little Steven's Underground Garage. That recorded version was produced by Stevie Van Zandt and features backing from the Disciples of Soul. The song is part of the upcoming production, The Wanderer, The Life and Music of Dion, and that's scheduled to hit Broadway next year. This is the Mighty Manfred, and thanks to Diego for speaking with me today on our Coolest Conversations. Thanks also to Kurt Baker for producing our podcast. And be sure and check out your next Coolest Conversations, presented by Hard Rock and Little Steven's Underground Garage.
Buddy, you're a boy. Make a big noise playing in the street. I'm gonna be a big man someday. You got mud on your face, you big disgrace. Kicking your can all over the place.
Some things are better when they rock. The Seminole Hard Rock Hotels and Casinos rock around the clock with nonstop casino action, rooms fit for the king, pools, spas, restaurants, and clubs for every taste and temptation. Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Tampa or Hollywood, Florida. We will rock you.